Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney, and this is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And I am thrilled tonight to introduce you to a brand new release. It is not like anything I've ever written before. It is called Mine Until Midnight, and it is a sci-fi steampunk Western romance. It has aliens, it has spaceships, it has other worlds, it has cyborgs, it has shapeshifters. It sounds like a complete mashup, but it was so much fun to write. And I'm going to be reading an excerpt from it tonight. If you'd like to call in and talk to me, I'd love to talk to you about this book or anything that I have upcoming or anything that I've written in the past that you want to talk about. I'd love for you to call in 646-727-2932. If you'd like to send me a question about anything that I've written or about this book, I have the chat room open. You can drop a question in there. Or you can email me, linda@lindamooney.com. Now, I'm going to be giving away a copy of this book. I have the book available in EPUB, Mobi, and PDF. And one lucky listener will win a copy. All you have to do is email me, linda@lindamooney.com, and put book giveaway or Mine Until Midnight in the subject area, and I'll put your name in the hat. And at the end of the program, I will draw a name from the hat, and we'll see who wins a copy there. So let me start off with the blurb to Mine Until Midnight, and it goes like this. It started off as a little R&R on a backwater planet. All Ruth Hawk wanted was a place where he could breathe some fresh air, have a stiff drink, and perhaps while away a few hours at a game of chance. He should have known better. Before he's aware, he's embroiled in the middle of a flesh-peddling scheme, and the woman he wins is someone he never expected to find. The moment Remy Clisson saw the stranger take on Yarnell and his men single-handedly, she knew he was her only chance at escaping. She doesn't blame him when he doubts her claim that she's there to bring Yarnell to justice. What's more, she suspects there may be another reason why he's reluctant to offer aid. What should have been a brief layover quickly becomes an all-out struggle for survival as Hawk and Remy battle their way out of an increasingly tangled mess. But the secrets they are keeping from each other may tear them apart before they manage to get away from this world and to safety. Warning: contains a clothes swap, levitating locomotives, watery soup, a pretty silver star, 1,000-degree heat, attack dirigibles, and two people totally unprepared for whatever the future might hold for them. All right, I'm going to begin reading from chapters, starting at chapter 3, and it's when Remy first sees Hulk. He's landed on this planet called Sirocco, and he's entered the little town, and he finds what looks to be like a tavern or a saloon or something, and he goes inside. A long, narrow hallway led from the front doors to the rear of the building. Seated behind a small desk midway down the corridor was a thin man wearing a monocle. As Hawk drew nearer, he noticed the skin vid playing on the desk's surface. When the man finally noticed him, he turned off the vid and slid one hand underneath the desk. Hulk had no doubt the man was keeping a blaster out of sight. Can I help you?
Yeah, I was passing through and thought I'd like to get in a little recreational betting while I'm here. The man gave him a good once-over.
You got the creds?
Maybe.
Reaching in his pocket, Hawk pulled out the bag of Metsoff and dumped it on the man's desk.
The man gave him another dubious glare, then motioned for Hawk to step back before he opened the bag. He sniffed the contents.
Metsoff?
90% pure, the man grunted in reply. He opened the bottom side drawer and pulled out a test kit. Using a tiny scoop, he lifted out a portion of the green powder and eyed it. Satisfied by the initial examination, he dumped the drug on a detox mat, then added a drop of Acavine from an amber bottle that was in the kit. The Metsoff sizzled and turned red as it gave off a thin vapor. The man inhaled the vapor, closing his eyes to savor the brief after effects. When he finally opened them, he graced Hulk with an oily smile.
Okay, it passes. How much you want to trade in?
What's your rate of exchange?
Whatever we decide it to be. You want to do business with us or not?
Hulk swallowed his irritation. Do you deal in creds?
No, script only. If you win anything, we pay out in creds.
It was a decent offer. A lot of these backwater planets had their own form of currency. But when it came to dealing with trade from off-world agents, UGC, or Universal Galactic Credits, were the monetary exchange rate. Script aside, Hawk had experienced worse trade agreements.
All right, convert all of it.
The man retrieved a scale from the top drawer. Picking up the bag, he dumped the entire contents on the metal pan and waited for the machine to give him the weight and payout.
91.6 grams. That earns you $107 in script.
Pulling open the middle drawer, the man extracted paper currency and held it out to Hulk. Hulk gave a nod and accepted the money.
Thanks.
Without waiting for a response, he turned and continued down the hall, where the music, the smoke, and the noise gradually grew in intensity. He instinctively cradled the butt of one blaster resting on his hip. It didn't surprise him that he'd been allowed to keep his weapons. In places like this, one never knew when something might unexpectedly pop up, something alien and dangerous. In cases like that, it was every man for himself. It was one of a multitude of reasons why settlements on outlying little unimportant planets like Sirocco, far from formal law enforcement and main lines of traffic, were generally avoided. The layout of the Hidden Ace was no different from other typical dives Hawk had visited in the past. The rear room was where the main action took place: gambling, drinking, deal-making, deal breaking. A naked Corsu bared her six breasts and undulated across a small stage in the far right corner. The music that accompanied her gyrations came from the steam-driven sound system hanging on the rear wall. The bar was to the left. Behind it, a rudimentary kitchen where one could order a meal. The place was windowless. What light there was came from lanterns powered by solar crystals. He scanned the upper rooms. Every door was closed, presumably occupied. A couple of Kotran Maris girls paraded between the tables, taking food and drinks to the dozen or so patrons. They caught sight of the new visitor standing in the doorway and gave him a come-hither smile, batting their wings flirtatiously. Hulk smiled back, but made no further gesture. They knew he had money, or else he wouldn't have made it this far, and from their smiles, he knew they found him not unpleasant to look at. He managed to hide his regret. A shout came from the end of the far end of the room. Hawk watched as an Evanarian got up from table where four others sat and left the room. It never raised a head as it strode by, lightly grazing Hulk's shoulder when it passed him and shuffled down the hall. A moment later, the front door slammed behind it. Hulk sauntered over to the table and stood next to the vacated hover chair. On the other side of the table, an Iolite noisily slurped his drink with its ribbon-thin tongue.
"Looks like you've got an empty place. Mind if I sit in?"
The Iolite grunted and waved a paw, granting permission. Hawk eased himself onto the seat, adjusted his balance, and laid his money on the table in front of him. Excuse me.
"My name's Hulk.
They call me Yarnell."
The translator wrapped around the Iolite's neck made the voice sound reedy, but at least it was clear.
"The game is called Bliss. Are you familiar with it?"
Hulk nodded. It had been a while since he'd played. Most outposts where he'd played it often had their own set of side rules. He figured if he kept his bets minimal at the beginning until he got comfortable with the play, he'd be all right.
"Yeah, Lohan wins."
He waved a hand at the exposed cards.
"You're using a Colonial Earth deck?"
"I like the pretty pictures,"
Yarnell belched. Immediately, a sweet young thing appeared at his side with a fresh bowl of some disgusting-smelling brew and set it on the table. Yarnell slurped from the container until he was satisfied and farted contentedly. While his host refreshed himself, Hulk took the opportunity to check out the others at the table. A camphorn, a pestruscent, and a species he believed was Darnubian rounded out the competition. Each player had a small pile of winnings in front of them, all except for Yarnell, whose pile was at least four times greater. The Iolite gathered up the cards with two of his hands and began to shuffle.
"Aces are wild. Lose three games straight, and you're out. Think you can handle it, Hulk?"
"Three games, and you're out." Apparently, that's why the Ivanorian left, but it also meant he couldn't sit on the sidelines for long if he expected to remain playing.
"Yeah, I'm good. Deal."
It took a lot to get those working the floor excited. When she overheard the agitated whispers, Remy went to stand by the bar to glean more information. She centered herself, tamping down the rising hope that threatened to overwhelm her. She couldn't afford to show any emotion at this point, not after all this time. She'd been trapped here too many months. It had gotten to where she was starting to have nightmares of never escaping. She had no idea how much longer she could hold on to her sanity. Worse, she knew her nerves were frayed to the point where she knew she'd have no choice but to show her true self. And once she revealed her nature, Yarnell would either have one of his henchmen kill her on the spot, or, and this possibility terrified her more, he would exploit her uniqueness for his own profit. If that happened, her hell would be complete. She chanced a glance at the man sauntering into the room. She studied him, evaluated his body language, listened to the inflections in his deep voice, and her optimism rose. Whoever he was strong and able-bodied, self-assured, confident, no sign of swagger or boastfulness. He knew his limitations, but didn't exploit his strength. Word was he'd traded in a good quantity of Metsoff for his seed money. That meant he sometimes dealt in illicit goods, which meant he could be dangerous if crossed. She let her gaze drop to the two blasters prominently displayed on his hips. He wouldn't be carrying a double package like that unless he was capable, and those were the weapons he presented. Remy smiled to herself. 5 would get her 10. She'd find a knife or shiv in his boots, maybe at the small of his back and up his long sleeves. And because he didn't appear to have any compunction about landing on a backwater planet like Sirocco, he could also have a neuralizer tucked in the inner part of his thigh. A slap to the side of her head temporarily stunned her. She grabbed the edge of the bar to keep from falling as the barkeep growled at her.
Hey, bitch, serve the customers if you know what's good for you.
Bobbing her head, she reached for a tray as the creature set a couple of tankards in front of her. She didn't respond or react to abuse. She wasn't allowed to, having learned that lesson after she was brought to this place. As she moved about the tavern, she never let the stranger out of her sight. He may be her only hope of getting away from here, and she couldn't risk him leaving without having the chance to approach him. All she needed was a moment alone with him, a single moment to plead her case and pray he believed her. Assuming a drug-bombed expression, she kept herself busy enough to avoid being grabbed and hauled upstairs for another sexual confrontation. For if that happened, she knew it would be over for her, and she would spend the rest of her life under Yarnell's relentless reign. The next few hours would either save her or break her. Okay, I'm going to go a little time, so I'm going to go a little further. And let's see here. Okay. Well, of course, as you know, he wins her, and she takes him upstairs. As soon as they were inside the tiny bedroom, Hulk closed and locked the door. He walked over to the single window on the opposite side of the bed and checked the view. It was of the back of the building and afforded little in the way of knowing what was going on outside. But in the distance, he thought he could make out, in the deepening darkness, the landing pad where his ship was docked. He pressed his collar button. Juliet. There was no answer. Juliet, can you read me? Silence. He glanced up to see the woman retreating to a far corner of the room, away from the door and him. She continued to stare at him with those blank eyes, but she appeared hesitant, waiting, perhaps afraid. Hulk didn't blame her in the least for her feelings of apprehension. He gave a loud sigh and shook his head. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to force you to do anything while I'm here, so relax. The woman raised a hand to her throat and made a slicing motion. Hulk narrowed his eyes, curious, as she then raised a finger to her lips, then pointed that same finger to something overhead. He resisted looking at what she was indicating, although he was curious to know why she had signaled him for him to be quiet.
What's your name?
She gave a single shake of her head. He asked again, using Urago and Mantisi. She continued to give him that same blank look. He grunted and tried to raise Juliet once more.
Juliet, if you can speak, at least beat me.
Continued silence. They've installed a damper in the building. You can't call out, and no one can call in. Hulk gave the woman a surprised look. She'd spoken in Perlish, a dialect he'd swear wasn't known in this region of space since the Perlish system was hundreds of light years away.
How do you know that? He replied, also in Perlish.
She suddenly hurried toward him and threw her arms around his waist. Lifting her face to his, she whispered, Take me out of here when you go, please. There was no mistaking her desperation. Taking her arms, he was about to disengage himself from her embrace when she added, They are watching and listening to us. Hulk froze. Now he understood what she was trying to warn him about and why she was doing so in such an obscure language. Propping his chin on top of her head, he pretended to be enjoying her touch, which he was, damn it, still managed to scope out the corner she'd backed into. Because he knew what he was looking for, he was able to spot it, hidden in the lower section of the light sconce,
He nuzzled the top of her head. "Sorry, sweetheart. I'm riding on thin ice already. If I try to abscond with one of Yarnell's treasures, he'll have no bones about taking me down for theft." The last thing he expected was for her to grab one of his blasters and leap backwards. He stared unconcerned at the loaded end of the barrel until she used her little finger to disengage the safety. The woman knew her way around the Denabolin pistol? Who the hell was she? He slowly raised his hands and avoided reaching for his remaining weapon.
"Whoa, now, why don't you give me that back before someone gets hurt, namely me?"
He started to hold out a hand, palm up, when she stroked the power level, raising it from stun to kill. "Listen tight," she whispered in Perlish with a tight voice. "I'm going to fire this once, but I'm going to miss you. Come at me and pretend you're struggling to get it out of my grasp. I'll take out the camera and microphone while we're at it, but we have to hurry before they come in here to check on us." He barely had time to let her words sink in when she fired. The photon beam missed his ear but grazed his collar, enough to where he smelled burning cloth. Hawk lunged at her and pretended to struggle for possession of the weapon. She gave him a hard shove. He fell onto the bare floor with her on top and quickly rolled over to where she was looking up at the ceiling. With both of them holding the blaster, she fired again, just past his shoulder. He heard a hiss, then a buzz. The bedroom door burst open and two men entered with their own pistols drawn as Hawk jerked the blaster from the woman's hands to aim it at the intruders. Glaring at him, he snarled, "What the fuck? Can't a man have a little privacy in here?"
"We heard a commotion,"
the guy in front, a Merbanian, replied. "What's your problem? I have everything under control," Hawk told him scathingly. "I have until midnight to tame this little hussy, or didn't you hear? Now get the fuck out of my room."
"But we..."
Cocking the blaster, he fired one shot into the ceiling above their heads.
"I said now."
He caught one of the guys eyeing the disintegrated light sconce with its hidden camera and mic, but said nothing. Eventually, the two left. Quickly, Hawk rose to his feet and closed the door, but found the lock was shattered. "Step aside," the woman briskly ordered. He noticed she held a chair in her hand. Moving back, he watched as she shoved it underneath the locking mechanism. It wasn't enough to keep someone from barging in again, but at least it would give them some privacy from anyone standing outside on the landing. The woman took a deep breath. Walking over to the other side of the bed, she sat on the edge, furthest away from him, and waited. The blank look was gone from her greenish-brown eyes. Instead, Hawk saw fierce determination and something more. A fire. Self-preservation. The need to survive. Hey, I'm going to leave it right here. And I'm going to check my email. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Email at lindamooney.com if you'd like a copy of, if you want to get into the hat to have this. I will be typing these names in. And let me give you kind of an idea as to what's going to be upcoming. I will have another release in just a few weeks. It is shorter. It's a Carolyn Gregg story, so it promises to be humorous and naughty at the same time. I also have an upcoming guest, Christine Anston, is going to be returning with another one of her wonderful books. And as for my current work in progress, I am happy to announce that I will begin work soon on
another Battle Lords book. This one will be called Their Battle Lords Sacrifice. And it will be book 6 or 7. I've lost count. It'll be the next one in the series. So you can be on the lookout for that to be coming in early fall. Okay. Let's see here. I am looking. And my, put it into the hat and draw an answer. And draw a winner. And my winner is Nadine. Hello, Nadine. Thank you. Thank you for entering, and congratulations. You've won a copy of Mine After Midnight. I will be getting in touch with you, emailing you back, and to find out what version you like, if you want an EPUB, MOBI, or PDF. Thank you again, everyone who entered. Thank you again for listening. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening in. Come back again. And it's going to be, I hope you have a great week in the meantime. Take care and good night, everybody. Bye-bye.